So in the gospel today, Jesus arrives to Judea, finds that Lazarus has already been dead in the tomb for how many days?
4 days.
He's been dead 4 days. And yet Jesus commands the people to take away the stones and says to Lazarus, come out, untie him, and let him go. I mean, can you imagine like the life of Lazarus before and after? Because Lazarus has been given a second chance in life. I don't care what people say. Some people say, oh, 4 days is not actually 4 days. Maybe it's like 4 hours, you know. No, 4 days. It says 4 days. So he's dead. He's dead, all right? And he's like in the tomb. And yet he says, take away the stones, untie him, let him go. Can you imagine, I mean, Lazarus walking out? And he would probably, you know, life afterwards, he would probably repeat the words of the first reading from Ezekiel. I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. He'd go around and say, that's me. That's me right there, right? Do you know or have you heard of people who have been given a second chance in life, similar to kind of Lazarus? Maybe not 4 days. Maybe like in the movies. Or maybe you've heard of some stories, read a book. I have one here. True story. One of our parishioners, I don't know if you know him, his name is Tom Salsiccia. Very Italian, you can tell, right? Tom Salsiccia, that's probably how you say it. You know, he just passed away recently, a couple months ago. Big, big funeral. It was like packed, you know, and many people came to pay their respect and honor him because he was a very well-respected lawyer. He's one of the oldest lawyers in the county of Santa Clara. And he was well-known for giving people a second chance in life because he wanted to defend people. But not only that, when I met with the family, they all told me, yeah, Tom, he's Catholic. You know, it's like cultural Italian Catholic, right? And I saw him at Mass a couple times, but it's very fitting to his name. Tom, Thomas, Doubting Thomas, right? And what do lawyers like to do? They charge you a lot, okay? Okay, but what do they like to do? They like to argue. They like to argue for breakfast, probably, you know? That's like their, you know, entertainment. And Tom liked to argue. And he liked to argue about God. He was Catholic, baptized, but yet he liked to argue about God. And, you know, for entertainment, for dinner, you know, with his family or friends, he would put God on trial, the family says. And he would, like, cross-examine him and see if he really existed. And he had many doubts of whether he actually existed or not. Yet, going through his illness, he had what he and the family described an out-of-body experience, where he just kind of flatlined for a while. And when he came back to his senses, they said he needed no more explanations. He realized that faith was a mystery, and he was so thankful to be given a second chance in life. And ever since then, his faith was rock solid. And I'm sure that he's with the ultimate judge, with God in heaven. But cases like this, you know, they do occur. And not just medical cases, but let me give you another example. Have you heard of the Nobel Peace Prize Award? Like everybody. Mother Teresa won that thing, right? Do you know how it came about? Guess who it's named after? Somebody named Nobel, okay? And the person's name is Alfred Nobel. And if you think of Alfred Nobel, do you think he would be a violent person or he'd be a peaceful person? Of course, peaceful. Nobel Peace Prize Award, right? Well, let me tell you, okay? Alfred Nobel, he had a brother, and his brother died. And what happened was the newspaper made a mistake. And they ran a long obituary of not his brother, but of Alfred. Right? Believing that it was Alfred who passed away. And thus, Alfred Nobel had an opportunity granted to very few people to read his own obituary while he was alive. And what he read horrified him. It horrified him because the newspaper described him as a man who had made it possible to kill more people more quickly than anyone else who had ever lived. Because Alfred Nobel was the one who invented dynamite. You know, like dynamite, you know, right? So at that moment, Nobel realized two things. That this was how he was going to be remembered. And that number two was that this was not how he wanted to be remembered. So he was given a second chance. And he wanted to rewrite his own obituary, right? And now you know what happened, right? He donated all his fortunes to create what we now know as the famous Nobel Peace Prize Award to honor those who have conferred the greatest benefit to humankind. Like Lazarus, like Tom, like Nobel, I think we all deserve a second chance, you know, not just to say sorry or just to go to confession, but to make things right, rewrite the course of our lives. And this is one of the most powerful assignments or exercise that I do with my students at St. Francis, the seniors. I basically ask them to write their own obituary while they're alive. I know you're like, well, that's kind of, why would I do that? You want me to die? That's like bad juju, you know? Why would I do that? No, okay? Just bear with me, okay? If the Lord called you today, what will people say about you? What will you be remembered for, right? And again, it's not weird. It's not bad luck. It's just simply an exercise for us to put ourselves in Lazarus's shoes, in his perspective. And what would that second chance look like? And if you're stuck, just kind of ask around. You know, like, hey, what if I die today, what will people say about me? You know, ask your wife. She'll let you know, you know. And the thing is, once you write your own obituary, you know, because have you ever read a bad obituary? Have you ever read one that's like, oh, he was a horrible person? No. But be honest. But be honest with yourself. And if you really want to be honest, like I said, ask people. And when you have your own obituary, ask yourself, how do I feel? Do I like what's written about me? Do I like my own obituary? Maybe. Most likely not. You know, is this what I'm going to go down for? Is this what I want to be remembered for? Or do I need to make some changes? Like, give you an example. For me, when I did this exercise, you know, my obituary, you know, I wrote it and I asked people, you know, about it. And they'd say something along the lines of, well, Steve is dedicated. He's a hard worker. He's funny. He's loyal. He's charming, you know. And now don't get me wrong. I like all these things. I like all these things, right? But that's not what I want to be remembered for. That's not what I want to go down for. You know, if I die, I want people to remember me and go, you know, Steve was a man of faith. That's what I want to remember for. Or the whole obituary, there was no word or phrase of God or Jesus. Why am I a priest? Right? I mean, hello? Huh? You know, I want to be remembered as, no, I mean, not Jesus. There's only one Jesus, but like, that I was a man of faith, that I was Christ-like in one way or another. That's what I want to go down for, and that's not what I'm known for. You know? And when I did that exercise, that kind of put things into perspective and say, I got to change. Right? I got to align my life, my words, my attitude towards Jesus Christ. Right? I don't know what your deal is. But basically, that's what I ask you to do this week. Write your own obituary. Look at it, evaluate it, right? And know that you can make changes because you're not dead yet, right? And seek, what are some areas in my spiritual life, relationship with Jesus that I need to change? And to kind of get you motivated, have you been reading that book that we gave you? I know, it's almost over. We're the fifth week of Lent, okay? The book, Rediscover Jesus. Take a look this week at the last couple reflections, reflection number 36 and 37, Matthew Kelly talking about holiness. And he says one of the greatest lies is thinking that holiness is not possible. Saying, well, I'm not a holy person. I'm not a holy this or that. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's not easy to be a holy person, but it's very easy to live holy moments, is what Matthew Kelly says. No? Can you be holy for 10 seconds? Can you be holy for a minute? I hope so. I think so. And what you do is you keep living that out. You add up these holy moments, then you become a holy person. Right? And think about your obituary. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't like yourself. I don't know. But think about, what are some holy moments that I need to practice? Some things that I need to change to become a holy person this week.